Well, we are so excited about having Pastor Brian Peterson speak in chapel this morning. Brian grew up until his sixth grade in Miami, Florida, and then he and his family moved here to Greenville, and so he attended Bob Jones Academy until he graduated in 1993 or four, and then he came to the university and then grad school and finished his MDiv. And I knew Brian as a youth pastor up at Bible Baptist Church in Matthews, North Carolina. And then I knew him as the assistant pastor of the Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, where I was a member. And so we worked together on the same church staff. And he has been now pastoring at the Lebanon Baptist Church on the north side of Atlanta in Roswell, Georgia. I know a number of you here are members of Lebanon Baptist, and I love Brian. He's a wonderful man, wonderful family, and I'm so glad he can challenge our hearts this morning from God's Word. Brian?
I do. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I thank God for this place. So many people here invested their life in me, and for that, I am eternally grateful. Today, I would like to direct your attention in your Bibles to John 6. So if you would turn there, the story that we're going to read today is one that will be familiar to almost all of you. It is always a little bit of a caution to approach a familiar text because it's easy for you to tune it out, but I hope you won't today. John 6, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." This morning, I would like to invite you today to see Jesus Christ. There's nothing better that we can do in the middle of the day or in the middle of the week than to feast our eyes on Jesus Christ's glory. And that's why the Gospel of John was written, to present his glory, but also to produce in us faith, that we would believe in him. And not only to produce faith, but to deepen our faith. All of us need a greater faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith not just to save you from eternity in hell, but faith to help you live on a day-to-day basis. Today, my desire is that you would marvel again in Jesus Christ's glory, but that you would also learn to trust him in every aspect of your life. You may have a difficulty right now here at school, maybe in a relationship, maybe at home, maybe a physical trial that you're going through. My hope is that through this text, you will trust Jesus Christ more. And as we approach these 13 verses, I'd like to point out a few preliminary aspects of the text. First of all, the text begins in verse 1 with, "After these things." Chapter 5 and chapter 6, what we believe is possibly a year of time. Verse 4 tells us that the Passover is near, and so the Apostle John, as he writes this, passes over either a half year or a full year with simply that phrase. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, however, record all the details of Jesus' Galilean ministry. John doesn't. He just hits the main signs, he hits the feast, and he comes and focuses in on Jesus' final week and ultimately Jesus' final day. However, he purposely takes the time to record this particular story, this event. Notice also the location. It says that he went over. This was the east side of the Sea of Galilee. A lot of the action happened on the west side. He went to the other side. According to verse 3, it says that he went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. I don't believe this was a particular mountain. More particularly, I think he's talking about a mountainside. Luke, another writer about this story, tells us kind of the location. It was near the area of Bethsaida. This is important that we'll find in just a few moments. It's an area that we know today as the Golan Heights. In fact, one of the borders there is against Syria. In fact, as I was visiting this area a number of years ago, in fact, with Steve Pettit and Sam Horn, I got out of the car to take a picture of Mount Hermon and ended up hearing explosions. So I jumped back in the bus real quick. So this was the area that he was at. But I also want to suggest to you the purpose. What was the specific purpose of John's recording of the feeding of the 5,000? This particular miracle is one that's in all the Gospels. However, what distinguishes John's account from all the others? I believe that it reveals not only Jesus' glory, not only does it set up his speaking about the bread of life in the next number of verses, but I believe there's a distinct aspect of Jesus testing the faith of his 12 disciples. And that's what I'd like to teach you today from this text. Jesus tests the faith of his disciples. Jesus tests your faith. As Jesus looked at the multitude that day, was moved with compassion, and as he sensed their hunger, he decides to question one of his disciples, Philip. Look what it says in verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now John is the only gospel writer that records Philip in Andrew's names. Philip is addressed first, and Jesus wants to know this question. Philip, where do we buy bread around here? Now, why does he ask Philip? Well, as I mentioned to you before, Luke points out that they were in the area surrounding Bethsaida. Philip was from this area. No doubt he would have known the shops. He would have known the bread sellers. He was a local. So Jesus goes to him and asks, where do we buy bread? However, John reveals that all of this was really a test. Look what it says in verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now I want you to mark that text. That word prove is Jesus said this to test him. Jesus was testing Philip's faith. Would Philip trust Jesus Christ? Would he trust his provision? Notice the text already says that Jesus knew what he was going to do. And I'll tell you this, he always does. He's sovereign. He's in control of all things. He knows what he's going to do. But he did it particularly to test him. Notice that. There are times in our lives that Jesus brings us into situations to test our faith. Will we look at life through sight, what we see, or will we look at life through faith in him? He comes to us oftentimes like he did Philip, and he says, what are you going to do about this? This situation in your life, what are you going to do? I'll tell you this, he already knows what he's going to do. And the good thing is, if you know him as your Savior, he's working everything in your life for your what? For your good. Some of those tests began a couple of weeks ago when you got handed five or six assignment sheets. And you're like, how in the world? A 15-page paper? I've never had to write something that long. Some of you saw, I have to give a speech in front of people? That was your test. Some tests are going to come to many of you as you depart from chapel and you get a phone call. God uses all different types of situations to test and grow your faith in Him. It may be in your dorm room right now. There's a situation that He brought into your life to see what you're going to do with it. It may be at home. It may be your school bill. It may be a death of a loved one, like this one we heard at the beginning of chapel. It may be the course that you've dreaded over the last 3 years, and now you got to take it your senior year. It could be the 18-hour plus workload that you have. It may be the senior panic that you're in. I'm not dating anyone. It's my senior year. It may be a big decision that you've got to make. It could be a physical trial. I mean, last week, as I was in a waiting room with one of our members whose wife was undergoing surgery for breast cancer, I got into a discussion with another family that was sitting there who could tell that we were believers. And their daughter, as she was checking into school her freshman year, a young lady by the name of Mary Catherine, started having headaches, and they diagnosed a brain tumor in her. And think about how quickly that happened. She was already in the midst of surgery. She had just come through surgery. I'm continuing to pray that she recovers. But that was her test. How do you respond when God places tough times and tests into your life? I don't know about you, but our tendency, at least for me, is to falter and to fail. What does Philip do? Well, he doesn't even address the question that Jesus asked. Jesus asked him, where do we buy bread? Philip doesn't even go there. He says, how? Look what he says in verse 7. He says, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, a penny worth, or a denarii, was a day's wage. So 200 days of wage, basically 8 months of labor. Let's say a guy works and makes $40,000 a year. What this is talking is about is basically $26,000. That was what it was going to cost to give every person just a little bit. So in effect, Philip is saying, we don't have the money. We don't have it. And in this, I believe, Philip failed. He messed up. Look who was in front of him. He was the one who could have made the stones. And if you know the Golan Heights, there are lots of stones. Jesus could have made all the stones bread if he wanted to. He didn't have enough faith in this situation. Well, Andrew now enters the scene. Okay, look, how's Andrew going to do? Look at what it says in verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So he identifies a boy with 5 barley loaves. Now, interesting, John is the only one to point out that they were barley loaves. It was kind of a commoner's food. It has lower gluten content. So we could say Jesus was sensitive to the gluten, the people who are allergic to gluten. Anyway, here was the bread, but also he says there's 2 fish here. The fish were basically used as a relish or a condiment, we believe. Now, I wish Andrew would have stopped in the middle of verse 29. However, he ends his, he adds the little phrase, but what are they among so many? And once again, Andrew fell short in his faith. How do you respond when tests come? Do you respond with faithlessness? We can't do this. Do you respond with fear, fretting, anxiety? Do you just see the circumstances in front of you and not the Lord who is with you? Do you say this, I don't have the money for that. I don't have the strength to accomplish that. Fortunately for us, what Jesus does so often is he steps in and he displays his glory. And that's what he does anew for these disciples. He displays his glory to them. Jesus now, in effect, says to Andrew, I'll take you up on that offer. That dinner suggestion you gave me, bring me the fish, bring me the bread. And now Jesus performs the fourth sign in the Gospel of John. He tells everybody to sit down. It says in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. From Mark, we know that they sit in groups of 50 to 100. There was much green grass. It says it was Passover time. And so the grass was lush. 5,000 men, it says. Matthew also tells us that that number didn't include women and children. So it was probably 15,000 plus. Jesus took the loaves and he prayed. Verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. So Jesus, he prays before his meal, as many of us will do in just a few moments, and then he uses his weak and faith disciples to begin to distribute the bread. Now, whether he performed the miracle in his hands as he put it into the basket, or whether he performed the miracle in the baskets as they were distributing them, we don't know. But the text does say this, they had as much as they wanted. Now, no doubt there was probably some worried people. I hope that guy in the front doesn't take too much. Look at that guy, he took three pieces. It's never going to get back to me. No doubt there was one group of 50 at the distant part of the crowd. And they're thinking, it's never going to get to me. But what happened? Those disciples kept coming, one by one. And what happened finally? Verse 12, and when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. And as in a day when there was no waste, he collected all the remaining bread. And notice this, there were 12 baskets. Let me suggest to you that each one of those baskets were for one of his weak in faith disciples. Each basket shouting out this, you can trust me. What does Jesus do? Jesus furnishes a dinner, bread in the wilderness. In this, Jesus did what he had done years before in giving manna to the Jews on their way to Canaan. He provided physical bread. In fact, he will use this illustration in just a few hours to teach that he is the bread of life. But in all this, what he does particularly to his disciples was this. He displayed his glory to them. I'm trustworthy. I'm big enough to do whatever needs to happen. You can trust me. That's what Jesus is doing with his disciples. Jesus is testing them to teach them to trust him. And I'll tell you this, young person, God is using every situation in your life, if you know him, to test you to build your faith and trust in him. What was Jesus looking for when he went up to Philip and asked him where to buy bread? You know what Philip could have done? He could have responded like this. Jesus, you got this. You got this. Who needs the shops? You're the creator of the world. You can do whatever. You go ahead and you got it. Andrew could have said, hey, Jesus, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You can start with that. You got this. You can do it. Their problem and our problem is this. We so often lack faith. We just see the circumstances right in front of us and not the Lord who's with us. We get frustrated. We get anxious. Some of us make the mistake of saying, instead of "you got this," "I got this. I got it." And we just leave God out of the picture. Students, let me tell you, tests are going to come. You're going to have them all year long. Jesus is going to come to you in his particular way and say this: what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do? Will you say this: Jesus, you got this. I'm looking to you. I'm trusting you. Now, one clarification in all this: this doesn't mean that you just sit around and do nothing. Okay? You've got to do your part. One of my biggest tests in college was my school bill. My senior year of high school in the academy, my dad, who was an electrical engineer, lost his job. And so when I started as a freshman at Bob Jones University, I started with debt from my senior year of high school. I had him switch the bill over from my parents' name to my name. And what I had to learn to say to God was this: God, you got this. You got this. But you know what I had to do each day? I had to get done with my classes, and I had to jump in my car and drive over to Haywood Road and work at Heavenly Ham and make sandwiches, sometimes 4 or 5 hours a day. Part of that, I worked at Air South as a ticket agent at Greenville Spartanburg. I had to work. I had to do my part. And I can honestly say, by the time that I finished grad school at Bob Jones University, my debt was gone. Who did it? God did it. God did it. But I still had to do my part. So all that to say this: when you get that unexpected call from home this semester, when you don't have enough money to buy your toiletries, when your fiance breaks up with you, when you can't find a job, your temptation will be this: to go to your roommates, to call your parents, to pull out the credit card. Some of you, it'll be to go to medication, to give in to your lust. Some of you solve the stress and anxiety with entertainment. Some of you will just go for a run. Some of you will just look forward to vacation. It'll be done. I can't wait till Christmas break. Some of you solve all that by just getting alone with yourself. Students, Jesus Christ wants you to say to him, Jesus, you got this. You got this. I know that you're the creator. You're the sustainer of the universe. Nothing is too hard for you. I'm looking to you. I'll do whatever you command. My eyes are fixed on you. And I'll tell you this: yes, his disciples failed in some ways, but the good thing is Jesus allows us to retake the test. You know what he does in a few minutes? They don't do too well here. He lets them do a retest. He says, okay, now get in the boat. And he takes them on a boat ride, and he teaches them again how they can trust him. He is patient, and he is always working to teach us to trust him. How do you grow in faith, young person? The way you grow in faith was this: these disciples grew in faith by spending time with Jesus and continuing to see his glory. So must you. You need to spend time this year in your busy schedule in the Word, seeing Jesus Christ's glory. You need to devote yourself to prayer. Find a place where you can get alone with God. This teaches you how you can look to him immediately. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Today, simple truth: Jesus tests your faith to teach you to trust him. The question is not whether you're going to have tests. They will come. But will you say to him, you got this, God. You got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us to look to you continually. In Jesus' name, amen.